Hallelujah. Welcome to your morning faith boost. Praise God. Praise God. That was a beautiful song titled, It Is Finished by Passion. All right. It is finished. Glory, glory to God. So this is the fifth episode of our very wonderful, wonderful topic. Wonderful. Yeah, really like wonderful topic beyond Calvary. And I trust that it's been quite enlightening, quite revealing. You know, just interesting to see. All right, that our focus ought not to start and end at the cross. Our focus transcends even into the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. So it's just interesting. All right, so we've had to look at the cross. The cross is a place where we were crucified. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, you know. Christ lived in me, so I've been crucified, but I live. All right. So where did the crucifixion happen? On the cross. We looked at Isaiah 53, and that was very, very, very wonderful. We read the whole of Isaiah 53 in this series, and it's just interesting to see that God placed upon him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins upon his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, she lived unto righteousness, by whose stripes were healed. So he took upon our sins. He took upon our sickness. He became sin. So he was the lamb slain. He was the lamb. I mentioned to us about the fact that in Leviticus, you see the high priest, all right, ministering with two goats. One is called the scapegoat, all right, upon whom the high priest lays his hands and supernaturally transfers the sins of the people upon that goat, and the goat is sent into the wild and is destroyed right there. So it's believed that, oh, our sins have been transferred onto this goat, and then the goat is sent out and he's destroyed. Then the other goat, the high priest, would kill and then use the blood, all right, because there could be no atonement without blood. So high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies, all right, shedding blood for his own self and for the sins of the people. So we see sin being carried away, lamb being slain, and blood, right, being sprinkled upon the mercy seat, you know, and all that is in the Holy of All. And Bible lets us know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus plays a role, or I allow the use of the word play, not like he's acting. He now is the real. Those were just the types and shadows. So he's just the real lamb shows up, taking away our sin. And of course, in taking away our sin, please remember Romans 5 and 12 says, through one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death spread upon all men. So if he took sin, then he took death. All right. When sin came in, death followed. So the moment he took the sin, then he took the death. For the wages of sin is death. So he took the death. He died the death. He took away the sin and the effects of the sin, the sickness, the death, he took it all away upon himself. He became cursed for us. All right. So this is wonderful. So if we could actually spend months, all right, weeks and months looking at the impact of the cross. And why did I say weeks and months? Because we need to look at, okay, I mean, dealing with healing alone could take us, you know, a few weeks and months. I'm going through scripture, explaining Revelation, looking at the Old Testament, New Testament, because you have to understand that in the Old Testament, which I've taught before, all right, your healing were based on, yes, the mercy of God, but also on your works. You will have to serve the Lord your God, then he will bless your bread and he will bless your water. But now in the New Testament, our healing and health is not on our own works, is not on our own action. Our healing and health is based on the finished work of Jesus. He himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. He himself. And the generality of the body of Christ needs this revelation, needs this reality. You know, sometimes we get to a point in faith where we fight. You know, and then you're like, oh God, this sickness is back again. This sickness is back. No, the devil made you think it was back. And then by you thinking it was back, you gave it room to be back. So we could actually spend time talking health and healing. I believe one of these days, once there's a green light there, we would. I mean, so in talking about what happened on the cross, right, what were crucified, the body of sin, like Romans chapter 6 said, has been destroyed, all right? Himself, the just for the unjust, like Peter said. So we have to look. So there's so much really to discuss, even about the cross. All right. But the interesting thing is that while there's so much, all right, I mean, like Colossians chapter 2 also tells us, you know, that he nailed those handwritings that were against us. He nailed them away. All right. Spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. King James just puts in it. But some other Bibles now say in it, which is on the cross. So we see there, all right, that a lot transpired there. The biggest image of Jesus Christ that we see is him on the cross, the crucifix, all right, hanging in homes, hanging in cars, hanging around necks and all of that. But the present picture of Jesus is that of him seated at the right hand. Maybe we need new pictures, all right? Not because I'm asking you to go paint one, but I'm saying if we could even paint it in our minds, our own minds, that he's seated. He's not the hanging Lord. He's not the crucified one. He was the crucified one. He became the resurrected one. When in John, you know, Revelation chapter 1, he was introducing himself to John the Beloved. He said, I am him who died, but who is alive forevermore. All right? So we can't sing just about he's dead, he's crucified, he hung, he's dead. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But he is risen. And then the angel said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He didn't just die. He wasn't just crucified. And each of those things means something to us. He had to be crucified. And then he had to die. Because except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So he had to be crucified. He had to die. He had to be on the ground for 3 days. He had to resurrect. And that's why in each of it, you know, there's what is called substitution, Jesus taking our place. Then there's what is referred to as identification. We seeing ourselves in each of the processes. Bible tells us that we were crucified together with Christ. Bible lets us know that we died together with Christ. Bible lets us know we were buried together with Christ. Bible lets us know we were risen. So each of these things means something, even to us. Even to us, each of these stages, we shouldn't skip any. So through our minds, all right, through our minds, we've got to sit. through our minds. We got to see it. All right, Sam, I need to teach this thing and then take a bit more time and not, so that we could just look at it. But we see that he was a lamb slain, all right, and our sins were laid on him. We see him resurrected, all right? We see now that we have access. His body was broken for us, and then the curtain of the temple tore, which created that access. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 that the Holy Ghost was signifying that as long as the first tabernacle was still standing, then the way into the holiest of all has not been opened. But then we see in chapter 10 that therefore the veil has been torn. The veil has been torn. There's access. We've been brought into the family. We're now sons and, you know, and daughters. Yes, sons of God. So he's not just, you know, God to us. No, we're his own children, born by him. We have access. We have righteousness. We can now stand before God without a sense of guilt, all right, or inferiority, you know, or condemnation. We have access. The same rights and privilege that Jesus has before the Father, we have because we're now family. All right, we're not just friends. And I know, and I get the concept. I mean, it's wonderful. Your friends on you hang out with, talk to, you know, spend time, you know, and all of that. And it's fine. But please understand that Jesus at no point referred to the Father as a friend. All right? And, you know, they refer to the Holy Ghost as comforter, counselor. Of course, when someone is your comforter, is your counselor, is your paddy. So I understand all those languages. I'm just saying, while you might enjoy those thinkings, don't let it rob you off what you really have. All right? You are a son. You are a child of the Holy Ghost. Yes, you now have fellowship, deep fellowship, intimacy with him. But you are his child, right? He gave birth to you. For by one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, have we all been baptized into the same body? Even Jesus was called in Luke chapter 1, the child of the Holy Ghost, all right? Because he had to be born and then the Holy Ghost was uninfluenced. We couldn't be born again without the Holy Ghost. So we're born by divinity. We're products of divinity. So we see ourselves as, oh, we've now been brought into a family. And Paul, rather, you know, Ephesians chapter 3, praying, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, before whom the whole family on heaven and in heaven and on earth is named. So we see also, all right, that he's prepared a place for us. We've been talking about that during the week. We've talked about it all week. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place. So where is this place? He has now brought us into himself. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 says, you have come to Zion, to the city of the living God. We are now in a place. We've been brought into a place. Glory, glory to God. And Jesus now is high priest. I know we sing songs, you know, and, you know, talk about the Lamb upon the throne, you know, and all about that. But we might need to sing new songs again about his high priest. He's high priest. Don't forget. You know, because we need to know that there's a present day ministry of Jesus Christ. Bible tells that he's the one at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for the saints. That's not a lamb, that's a priest. So he's functioning currently in his priestly office. Hebrews says, holy brethren, partakers of his heavenly calling, consider, all right, Jesus Christ, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. All right, so he's high priest, currently high priest. He's the high priest. Right, he's the one overseeing and the one ministering over the tabernacle in heaven. Oh, there is a tabernacle in heaven, and there's a high priest. We are priests, there's a high priest. All right, glory to God. He is currently, what's he doing right now? Bible calls him advocate. All right, advocate. First John chapter 2 from verse 1 tells us, all right, John says, I write unto these things unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, 1 John 2. From verse 1, I write unto you, you know, little children, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. So he's currently, present day, he is an advocate. We have an advocate, you know, John says, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. Verse 2, not just the propitiation of our sins alone, but for the sins of the whole world. So he is currently high priest. He is currently advocate. All right. So, but we have a lot, maybe because of the book of Revelations, we have a lot of picture in our heads of the lamb that was slain. We have a lot of songs that we sing about the lamb that was slain. So we talk a lot about the lamb, but we talk very little about the high priest. So the church is not aware all right, of his priestly ministry. The church is not aware. The church seems to be more aware of the accuser of the brethren than the advocate of the brethren. Do you understand what I'm saying? The church seems to be more aware. We talk more about the accuser. We talk more. We talk so much. And we find that again in the book of Revelations. So we talk more about the accuser. Ah, the accuser, accuser, accuser. But what about the advocate? Oh, thank you, Father, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. So he's our Father. You know, he's a Father-appointed advocate. Imagine you being thrown into the courtroom. And the prosecutor has so much. The prosecutor has finished you. All right? Finished you with facts and finished you. All right, with exhibit A, finish you with proof, all right, and then only for you to raise your head and your big brother, all right, was your defense attorney, and then your dad was sitting there as judge. I'm sure you will cross your legs and tell your prosecutor, continue, it's all right. When you're done, my father knows what to do. I mean, you just know. And then your father is the righteous judge. And then the facts on your behalf, because at the end of the day, the sin against you has been charged into someone else's account. The advocate has nothing to say. I mean, the accuser has nothing against you. He has nothing on you. He has nothing on you. So you now by carelessness, you now by condemnation, you now, you know, because there are still things you might do in the natural. I mean, if I go out there to steal and I'm caught, they'll beat me. They'll beat me. That one has a physical consequence by itself. All right, so they'll beat me. You know? So you now don't say, no. We understand that we have an advocate. All right? But we enjoy intentionally and deliberately his advocacy. All right. So we've got to look at these things and see the importance of them. But we got to tie it up. So Hebrews in chapter 1 and the third verse, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, you know, says Jesus, referring to Jesus, says, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. I want you to see this. When Jesus had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. When Jesus had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. When Jesus had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. So what's the current position of Jesus Christ, guys? He's seated. He's not on the cross. I know you know it, but we need to say it again. He's not on the cross. All right? So it's not from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. He went to the throne. He's seated. Now understand the concept of sky. He went to heaven. All right. He's seated. He is seated. So Hebrews chapter 10, you know, 11 into 14 says, and every high priest stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. I told you during the week that the high priest were, you know, the priests, all right, where. Okay, I read it wrongly. It's every priest stands daily. All right, I told you there are three portions of the tent. All right, we have the outer court, then we have the inner court where the priest day in, day out are offering sacrifices. And then we have the most holy place. So every priest stands daily ministering, all right, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, hallelujah, this man, after he has offered one sacrifice, they were doing, I love this. Please, let's read that verse 11 again. Take note, he says, every priest stands daily ministering. So number one, they do it daily. I chose that first. Number two, he said they stand daily. In the place where they ministered, there was no chair. They were standing, stand every day. They stand. And why they will keep, because it was non-stop work. No resting, no break, non-stop work. Every priest stands daily, ministering oftentimes the same sacrifice that could never take away sin. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Please notice, he didn't do several. It was just one time, and then he sat down. He sat down. All right, chapter 1 that we saw in verse 3 says, that when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. So he didn't just come as the lamb, he went as the high priest to offer up the blood. And when our sins had been purged, all right, when the utensils of worship, as it were, in the heavenly tabernacle themselves had been cleansed, like we saw in Hebrews chapter 9, then when the court of the universe and the judge of the whole earth, all right, said, man is hereby finally fully judged, when all that was pronounced, he sat down, the job was finished. So verse, 13 of Hebrews 10 now says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Right, for by one offering has he, perfected forever them that have been sanctified. So we see, even in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, that to which of the angels did he say to at any time, sit at my right hand, till your enemies be made your footstool. So the person sitting is Jesus. He's Jesus. Once again, he is no longer on the cross. He's seated. Paint that picture. Paint that picture. He's seated. So thank God for crucifix everywhere. So you might need to paint the picture in your heart. Paint the picture in your mind. He's seated. He's risen. He's glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's just important that you and I, all right, get this new perspective, put it in our hearts, all right, just put it in our minds and focus a lot on it. In Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 4, I believe we read that yesterday, Ephesians 2, 4, all right, says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive with Christ. So this is the whole mercy of God in operation, all right? Verse 5 again says, even when we're dead in sin, since he made us alive with Christ, by grace are we saved. Verse 6 says, and has raised us up together. So see the process here. We were dead. He had crucified us together with Christ. We were buried together with Christ. We died with him. We're buried with him. Now we were made alive. All right? We were reanimated. All right? Together with him. Reanimated, brought alive together with him. Made alive, you and I made alive together with Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That means when he burst forth from the tomb, you and I were somewhere there in him. Hallelujah. You were there in him, in him, in him, in him. When he conquered death, we were there in him. We were made alive together. This is how God sees it. We're made alive together with Christ and we're raised up together with him. Please notice this. So when the Spirit of God resurrected Jesus, the Spirit of God was working in us also. That's why the same Spirit has a right to flow freely in our body. So we need to allow him. Because that's the Spirit that brought us back, spiritually speaking. And that impact is in us. We're raised up together with him, verse 6, and made to sit together. Made to sit together, all right? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, he is seated. We're seated. He is seated. We're seated. Please understand this. I need to picture Jesus enthroned. Please, picture Jesus enthroned. Picture Jesus enthroned. See him walking into, the glorious, maybe ballroom of heaven. And the Father welcoming the Son, or he's finished his responsibility as high priest. Don't forget how Philippians chapter 2 tells us, all right, that when he had done the things he was going to do, God now gave him a name. Gave him a name above every name. That the name of Jesus every knee will bow. So I want you to see him enthroned. Maybe the Father must have said, hey, sit, which is how the Bible puts it. That the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So picture that pronouncement being made. Picture all of heaven at attention. The angels, the 24 elders, the beasts. Picture everyone at attention. And the Father declares, sit. Sit at my right hand. Till your enemies become your footstool. Sit. And all creation, they watch him take a glorious seat. Now we could say, yes, it's figurative still. But yet again, hey, I still know there will be a physical city. Just saying what I said during the week, I'm not saying there are not places to live in heaven. There will be homes. But our focus on heaven is not, is it a duplex, is it a flat, and all of that. It's a fact that God, you know, has created us as his dwelling place. And then we are in him. Our biggest home is him. We are in him and he's in us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I want you to picture him being enthroned. So while we see that and we bow together with all our creation, take a moment. Lift your head from that point of bowing down. Look again at that seat. Look intently at the one sitting there. And you begin to see that I see him, the glorious one, sitting. I see him, the risen Lord, seated. I see him, but I seem to see another image in him. I seem to see someone that looks like me in him. So yes, I'm here in the position of worship, but I see by revelation of scripture that when he sat, he brought me together to sit. I was made to sit. And that's how Ephesians puts it. Ephesians 2 and 6 again says, and has raised us up together. And made us sit together with him in heavenly places. Raised us up together. Made us sit together. Made us. Colossians 3 from verse 1 says, if you be risen with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And remember, we're seated with him. So it says in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you are with him. You are together in him. Where? In the heavenly realms. In the heavenly realms. So see that Ephesians 2 and 6 again. And has raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly realms. Or some say in the heavenlies in Christ. So I'm seated. You're seated. I'm seated. But who sits? It's a king that sits. It's one who sits and reigns. And we sit and make decrees and rule. Don't forget chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1 of Ephesians describes his sitting position. All right? Verse 20 of chapter 1 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. All right? Let me just pick it from 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places or in heavenlies. So Jesus is seated at God's right hand in heavenly places. See the description, 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that sits, that fills all in all. So he's seated. But he's seated in the complete feature of Christ, an entity with head and body. So we are his body, he's the head, Ephesians 1 says. So we're together, head and body, the complete union of Christ. Yes, we are physically here on the earth at this moment. But don't forget, some parts of the body that are asleep are already with him in heaven. So Ephesians 3 says the family, you know, in heaven and on earth. So it's a complete family. Whether asleep in Christ, which we refer to as dead, or alive on the earth, we are still one family. We're still the body of Christ. The universal, all right, body of Christ. We're all together. All together. The family in heaven and on earth. So we're seated together with him, far above. Far above. So you are seated right now. So take authority. What's not going right for you? What's not going well for you? What doesn't seem to happen the way you want? Take authority. You're seated. You're seated far above all principality, all power, might, dominion, every name that is named. You're seated. Is a doctor telling you something? Don't argue with him. He's doing his job. But you use your authority. Take your sitting position. Speak to that name. Speak to it by the name that is above every name. Speak to it with the power that has been vested on you in Christ Jesus. Speak to it in that authority given to you. Because you are far above not only names that are named in this world, but also names that will be named in the world to come. It's not a temporary sitting position. Oh, no wonder Romans chapter 5 and 17 says that we that have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, we will reign. We reign in life. We reign in life. We reign in life by one, that is Christ Jesus. Go ahead and reign today. Go ahead, reign. R-E-I-G-N. Reign. R-E-I-G-N. Reign. Some say reign as kings. Go ahead and reign today. Don't let that sickness reign. Don't let lack reign. Don't let thoughts of defeat or suicide. Don't let anything reign that is not of God. Don't let anything reign that is not of God. Don't let anything reign that is not of God. You reign. You reign today. Reign this weekend. Reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. Hallelujah. You reign. Glory to God. You reign. You reign. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe this has blessed you. You reign. The work is finished. He's risen. He's seated. And you and I are seated together with him. You and I are seated together with him. Glory to God. Listen, guys, let this be your mindset. You're seated. Nothing moves you from your seat. You speak to the thing from your sitting position. You reign from your sitting position. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe this blessed you. Blessed you, blessed you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you for always tuning in. Thank you. So good to know that you're there being blessed. Send feedback. It would be nice to have you say something. And please don't forget, this Sunday, every Sunday actually, 5 p.m. Nigerian time, please join in. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time learning about the influence of the Spirit. And our current topic is a Spirit-filled believer. So have a glorious, supernatural, kingly weekend. Yep. Bye. Final.